Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Deadline for sanctions?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt. Today is the United Nations imposed deadline for Iran to stop enriching uranium. But the nation's president says his country will not accept what he calls bullying invasion and violation of its rights. Discussions are due next week about a list of monetary punishments for Iran. Proposals include a possible travel ban for Iranian officials, a ban on the sale of dual-use technology, and a wider freezing of Iranian assets. A sigh of relief for the former head of oil giant Shell. Sir Philip Watts will not be prosecuted for overstating the company's oil and gas reserves. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Sir Philip resigned from Shell 2 years ago after it emerged the company had systematically exaggerated its reserves. Shell had overstated its proven oil and gas by 23%, or 4.5 billion barrels. America's financial watchdog, the SEC, fined the company $120 million at the time, but it's just announced it won't press charges against Sir Philip and two other executives. So the company gets a hefty fine, but no individual takes the heat, a fact of corporate life, says Damien Rees of the Daily Telegraph.
Where you have a complex organisation with decisions taken by teams of people and groups of people, then it's going to be very difficult to pin the blame on any individual. There is an element of collective responsibility here.
Sir Philip and his former colleagues are not completely in the clear. They still face class action lawsuits by aggrieved shareholders in Shell. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
13 was the lucky number yesterday on Wall Street. The Dow was up 13 points to 11,383. The NASDAQ was up 13.5 points. And the S&P held steady at 1304. H&R Block is due out with its quarterly earnings report today. The firm is best known for preparing tax returns, but it also owns a home lending business that investors are watching closely. There's also word its profits will take a plunge. And Marketplace's Bob Moon reports it could be a sign of bigger trouble ahead.
The higher that home prices climbed in recent years, the riskier the loans became for some mortgage lenders. Many targeted less creditworthy buyers with so-called subprime loans that carry higher interest rates and fees. Now, with adjustable rates going up and a growing number of borrowers failing to make their payments, H&R Block is being forced to write off a loss of $102 million. Analysts say that could amount to as much as 40% of the profits the company's mortgage business might have been expected to take in. Some experts wonder if this is just the beginning, not only for H&R Block, but other mortgage providers. Christopher Thornburg watches the home lending industry for Beacon Economics.
We're at the beginning of the breaking real estate bubble. We're not at the end. We're not near the bottom. We have a ways to go.
Thornburg expects a shakeout for the mortgage industry, but he can't predict which companies might be most vulnerable.
To some extent, this is going to be one of those things where we're just going to have the smoke clear to find out where the bombs have landed.
Thornburg has little sympathy for companies that he says have long been riding high on such high-risk loans. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And the richest state in the country is New Jersey. Annual census data has been trickling out this week. The Garden State has the highest average household income of any state and the lowest poverty rate. And you're listening to Marketplace. Washington State is the nation's biggest apple producer. The industry is worth more than $1 billion. But this year's crop might fall short. From Seattle, Jason Parr reports.
Already, peaches, nectarines, and plums are being left on trees because growers in Washington can't find workers to pick the fruit. But apples are the state's biggest crop, and farmers are fearful their most lucrative harvest may suffer as well. Mike Gempler is with the Washington Growers League. He says he's been getting a barrage of calls from growers who say they're already behind schedule.
We have had difficulty all summer thinning apples, which is an important part of apple production. We still have people thinning apples. They're over a month late in getting done. It's really unprecedented.
No one's sure of the reason for the labor shortage, but growers point to the crackdown on illegal immigration and the lure of higher-paying jobs in construction. I'm Jason Parr from Marketplace.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Brian Watt. Could tonight be the night that Andre Agassi finally retires from tennis? He plays in the second round of the U.S. Open. He certainly gave us reason to think he was done in the first round on Monday night. Tennis fans like myself are now savoring every point Agassi plays. I asked Business of Sports commentator David Carter why.
I think it's simple, really. If you think about it, he's been very consistent over the years, very refreshing, and we feel like we know him. This is an athlete that is playing in his 21st consecutive U.S. Open. We've watched him grow up before our very eyes. We've watched him mature. We've watched him make mistakes. And again, we feel a very strong connection to him.
I suddenly have memories of that first Agassi hairstyle, and now he's got the Michael Jordan hairstyle.
Well, yeah, that's right. When you think about how he has achieved this kind of status, it started with his flair, or maybe, in fact, it did, as you're saying, start with his hair, starts with his approach to the game, just his intensity. And everything around that, I think, began to allow him to really captivate fans, to captivate sponsors. If you look now at where he stands in his final year, he's going to make about $25 million, almost all of that coming from endorsements. And on top of that, he's going to go out as the most prolific earner in men's tennis history, $250 million when you add up his endorsements and his winnings on the court. I mean, that just doesn't happen. So he really has been the complete package.
So when you talk about endorsements, makes me wonder, where's he going from here? I mean, I don't picture him doing rocking chair commercials from here on out.
No, I don't think he needs to. I think one of the issues for me anyway, one of the developments, I guess, that's really differentiated him is his commitment to his foundation, his commitment to children's education, children's health, the tens of millions of dollars he's bringing in annually to support that. So he will be a part of tennis, maybe not formally playing all the time, but he will continue to be an incredible ambassador. And again, with Steffi Graf and a couple of kids, they are sports royalty. Let's not forget, they won 30 Grand Slam events between them, and they are squarely positioned as a couple to keep an eye on for a very long time.
Hmm. So that's where Agassi goes without tennis. Where does tennis go without Agassi?
Well, that's the $64 question. Andre remains the guy in men's tennis. Earlier this week, the Sports Business Journal put out a poll that suggested that Andre Agassi is twice as recognizable by name as the number two guy, Andy Roddick, and his face is four times more recognizable than Andy Roddick's. And so he literally is the face of men's tennis. And what happens to the sport now? Well, one of these guys, Nadal, could be Federer, could be Andy Roddick. Someone's got to step up and fill this enormous gap that's been created by Andre stepping aside. And I think, again, it's important to understand that he can still play a part in men's tennis and he can be this ambassador. But at the same time, there's a void being created that is seldom felt in a particular sport.
David Carter, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much.
David Carter is the director of the University of Southern California Sports Business Institute. Maybe Andre Agassi should run for office. Election season is upon us, and Marketplace wants you to tell us what issues are important. Go to marketplace.org to help us cover the real agenda. In Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
It's a perfect idea for advertisers.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.